Falcons 13-12 losers. Oh, my gosh. We need a new kicker. Oh, no.
Hey, now, my mom was not happy with Youngway. She's like, what's going
on? She's ready
to
run him out of town, huh? She's going to cut his butt right there.
Yeah, she was just like, well, they'd have won if he could have made those kicks. And I said, well, I said, mom, it's preseason. It ain't that big of a deal. She's like, well, I always want him to win. And I go, no, me too, but I'd trade a January win for an August win any day of the week.
Right.
You know?
And plus, I hear, from what I understand, when you miss left like he does with a right as a right-footed kicker, that's an easy adjustment rather than if you're pushing it to the right. That's what I've heard.
He's always been more of a, you know, 6-12 style kicker than most. You know,
what do you mean
I don't think
that?
He offsets as much of an angle towards the ball as other. You know, he's kind of
he's a lot more straight on. Yeah,
okay. He always has been, and he kind of does that thing right as he walks back where he kind of adjusts his hips,
that shoulder,
like,
yeah,
loosen these babies up real quick, make sure I get this leg swung around. And you know what? It's funny because we've always had the conversation. I know we're going to get into all the roster management things like that. We've always had this conversation about Youngway being, you know, top five in terms of field goals in history, in terms of how accurate he's been. It is funny to me because a lot of times kickers in a dome get a bad rap, and then you think about where he's kicking and who kicks there, and it's Justin Tucker. And you're like, guy's been pretty accurate throughout his career, too. I don't
know
if anybody's
ever
noticed.
Ever do it, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're like, well, he's outside, you know, outdoors. Wasn't a wind blowing from what I could see, Bo?
There was a little bit of a wind.
A little bit of wind. I couldn't see the ribbons moving on top of the post, but I thought, that's not an excuse.
You're making excuses for him.
He's kicked there his whole career, man.
I wonder if, Justin Tucker is a one percenter when it comes to how good he is with, you know, kicking. But you could also be the setup, too. It could be that maybe Pinion was had a slight little lean.
Did you say Arch noticed a little bit of a lean?
Well, he said that if there was one, that it could, if there's a little bit of a lean when you hold it, that it can do that as well. It could have been something as simple as that.
Didn't Arch do the holding when he was here?
I know he's done it. I don't know where he did it, but he and I had talked about he has done that before, but I'm not really sure where.
Oh, by the way, Arch will be joining us this morning.
Yeah, and I'm interested to get Arch's take on quite a few things. Including this defense, and who and where do you make moves? Because I mean, I go through here, Rob, and you didn't play Kentavious Street, Grady Jarrett, Eddie Goldman, Onyemata, TQ Graham, and Zach Harrison. None of those guys played. I didn't think that all of those guys are safe. The only one I had a real question about was Eddie Goldman and whether he had a roster spot or not. Like, had he done enough? Because I think Street and Jared are good. I think Onyemata and obviously, you know, Zach Harrison. And I've always thought TQ Graham had a spot. But you got to remember that you're not going to cut Dorless or Arororo either. And Arororo and Dorless played really well. And before anyone wants to chime in about who they were playing against, as far as from what I've been told or come to understand about how this offensive line for the Ravens is shaping up, they played three starters for the entire first half. So if that's the case, if they are going to start Voorhees, Faalele, and Rosengarten, then your defensive line didn't look terrible against him at all. In fact, I thought Dorless, Mike, and Arororo played very good, and Arororo had a sack.
I got to tell you, man, this front three, we're going to call them, because it is a 3-4 style defense. The front three, when you look at the numbers they're going to keep and the guys that they're going to have to cut if and when, there is a lot of magic they're going to have to pull as far as roster management goes.
Oh, you got to get down to 53 by next Tuesday, by a week from tomorrow.
And look, 25 of those, maybe 26 if you really want to screw with it, are defensive spots. And then you go down to the fact that you have three defensive line slots that are starters, and you start getting eight deep of guys that you have to keep almost. It's really going to get hairy, not only there, but back in the secondary and at the outside linebacker spot. I don't know how. I've broken it down front ways, back ways, sideways. I don't know how they get down to 25 in that defensive side of the room.
Not to mention you're adding an edge for player, and you're adding a secondary player in the safety.
Yeah.
So that's now I think it's safe, and I know we're getting a little bit early into this. We all agree that Ebikadi, Lamon, Anderson, Ellis – and maybe Zoe aren't going anywhere, right? But then, you know, I thought James Smith-Williams was kind of a lock on this team to be on the roster. He played some Saturday, which tends to tell me, I don't know. J.D. Bertrand's not going anywhere. Now,
what about Richie Grant?
I think they have to keep Richie Grant for now. Because you're gonna almost certainly keep four safeties.
Yeah,
And he's one of those four, unless they for whatever reason decide Dane Cruikshank or Micah Abernathy are worth that slot. I just don't know how that. Richie
how many
Grant
on the practice squad now? Is it 17?
16.
16.
16 guys, which is way more than it was when I was playing.
And what did
you have, like six or seven?
I think it was. Yeah, I think
that
it was 10. Seven. It wasn't 10 yet. I want to say it was 7 or 8.
Yeah.
When I was playing. And that you had to have a lid on how long those guys, if they were more than 3 years in the league, they couldn't play on P squad. I was, last year Julio gets signed to Philly and plays on the practice squad. I'm like, what? What? How is that even possible?
And to give the owners credit, they have made it bigger. Obviously, they use the COVID as kind of a reason to expand it, and they never went away from it with the newest CBA. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that they are pushing for more games every year. They want an 18th game. They already got a 17th game. And to do that, you're going to have to practice squad. I think that what eventually needs to happen, and I would like to see someone talk about this, the practice squad, to even get there, you have to be cut, and then you have to clear.
You have to clear, yep.
And then you're unprotected, basically. If another team wants to come and sign you to their active roster, you're gone. I think they need to give you 16 spots with about 6 or 7 protected spots.
No, you don't want that.
I would want that.
I'm sure you'd want that, but as a player, that's absolutely not what you want. If you're not going to put me on the field and give me the minimum salary for an active player, then let me go somewhere else. I don't want a protected slot at all. What you're doing is you're robbing those guys of opportunities. Well, let's just look down. Let's just say you wanted to get rid of a Jace McClellan.
Well, what if
somebody else is hard up for a running back? Now I can't go make money.
What if you pay those guys, and it doesn't count against the cap? What if you find out? And I know we're getting way off base for what we should be talking, but what if you pay those guys a minimum, like an active roster minimum?
Well,
like,
you're still taking away service time, though. I mean, you're still taking away service time towards pension, and that's the end-all, be-all for players.
If they're protected, though, I think that's something that has to be negotiated. You give them service time and all those things because it would be like essentially being on an active roster. It would kind of almost be like being on a 40-man roster, right, in baseball. Like, if you're on the 40-man roster, then
I think it only count towards your pension anyway, so that's, yeah.
Well, I don't disagree with that, and that's a topic to get down the road, but if I'm not mistaken, if you're on the 40-man roster of a team, it only counts as one call up for that year. Like it's only one.
You
call
have a
up.
Limited number, yeah.
Like you have a limited number of call ups, but it counts as one if you're on the 40-man and you go back and forth from going. No, that's why you'll see some of the same guys do that. I'm might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was like you get 6 the entire time you're on the 40 or something like that. 6 call ups, but
no, I thought that was why you're under control or something, but there's so many nuances in all of these things that we don't understand that we have to go back and read.
Arch mentioned that during the broadcast, and he was like, me and Mike, we talked about it during practice today. I was like, don't even get me started on like the NBA, Arch. I can't even start to talk about the NBA salary cap.
Speaking of Arch, we need to go to break. Speaking of Arch, 820 going to be joining us. And coming up next, TB's timeout. It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's next on the Morning Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game.